Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 9. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Go down to verse number 20 of chapter 2. Bible says, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he had labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. All right, let's pray this morning. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house. Thank you for the safety that you gave us this morning, and the bus is getting here safely, and I do thank you for that. Thank you for all the young people that rode, and the adults, and God, I pray that you'd help us this morning in our Sunday school classes. I pray, God, this morning that you'd guide my thoughts, guide my words, and help me just be a blessing to the folks here this morning. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I don't take this for granted. Lord, help me only to say what I ought to, and nothing more, nothing less. And I pray that you just help us be a blessing to the folks here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know. I think this may be a part of getting older, farther up in years, perhaps. But the fact of sleep, and I'm just saying this because of what I hear, but sometimes when you get older, you don't sleep as well at night. And now I don't know if that's true or not, because I'm not a whole, okay, so it is true, all right? It is true. We don't sleep as well at night, and not like you used to anyway. You got to get up more, and but there's an interesting phrase here in chapter 20, in verse 23 of chapter 2. The Bible says, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. Taketh not rest in the night. And I know that there's sometimes that you don't sleep well. I didn't really remember getting up last night, but I just didn't sleep well. I don't feel rested this morning. And honestly, I'm just going to say, I don't really have a problem sleeping. If I sit down and I stop moving, I fall asleep. And I know that's terrible, because I'm only 31. So I know that's a terrible thing for being young, but I do. If I sit down and I stop, but as long as I stay moving and I stay going, I do pretty well. But when I sit down, it's just like it's a button that flips or a switch, and I start falling asleep. And honestly, I don't have much trouble sleeping at night. I really don't. I don't hear the kids crying in the middle of the night. I don't hear any of that most of the time. I don't hear storms coming through most of the time. I sleep really, really well. And I'll show you probably one of the reasons I sleep well today. But I believe that there are some things that we wake up in the night for. And Solomon talks about one of these things. And the Bible says, his heart taketh not rest in the night. God's designed our bodies in an amazing way. You know, mankind has come up with all these ingenious ways to, you know, try to renew energy. And we talk about all these renewable resources. And, you know, for us, you know, we are a, you know, we've got amazing pieces of equipment that mankind has created. But there's nothing that can function like a human being. And one of the most essential parts of that is sleep. You know, you can go longer, you can really go longer without food and without water than you can without sleep. Because if you go for, you know, long, you know, people can fast for you know, the Bible talks about people fasting for 40 days, 40 nights, but you can't go without sleep for that long. Your body has to have that sleep. And so God's created us in that way, and it cost us, you know, most of you know what it is to go nights without sleep. There's been some time in your life that you've gone either nights with little sleep or nights with no sleep, perhaps. And at some point, your body just starts to literally shut down. Because why? Because you have to have that sleep. I remember the only time we ever did this, me and my dad, it was farming season, and we worked. It was a Friday night. We got up early Friday morning. We was in the field by like 6 o'clock, I think. It was like 6 o'clock. I don't remember which day it was, but it was like very early, and we worked all day. And I thought I was running equipment in front of Dad, and Dad was coming behind me planting. I thought, well, I'm going to work late, so that way early in the morning, Dad's got crops that he, you know, fields are ready for him to plant. We had rain coming in. So I worked all night, Friday night. So I worked all day Friday. I worked all night Friday night. And I thought, great, I got all this. I hadn't called Dad. I hadn't communicated with him. I didn't know what he was doing. Well, I didn't know that he had worked all night Friday night. So the next morning, I come in and Dad's tractor's not there. And I'm like, oh, I never heard anything from him. Well, I come back to walk into the shop, and Dad comes pulling in with the tractor and the planter. I'm like, great. All that time I spent working ahead, he's right behind me again. So we spent all day Saturday working and all day Saturday night working. And we quit at, I don't know, it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. So we worked over 48 hours straight. And I'm just going to tell you, I shouldn't say that. I know this is bad, but I fell asleep Saturday morning, like at 2 or 3 o'clock, and my mom couldn't wake us up for Sunday morning service. I mean, we were gone. But you know, it's amazing. You know, you can kind of get that. You know, everybody talks about their second wind. You know, you can go a night without sleep. You might be able to go 2 nights without sleep, but that after that third, you know, that third day, your body starts shutting down. It starts shutting down. I remember when we was helping, I helped Brother Tom with when we had your birds died, and we were working, you know, that was a kind of a crisis thing. You know, at some point your body just starts, you know, you can have the food, you can have the water, but if you don't have the sleep, your body just, it quits. And God's created us that way. So when we don't have sleep, it starts affecting us in other areas of our life. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is can't sleep. Can't sleep. There's times that you just can't sleep. And we're going to talk about a few of those things this morning. What keeps us from rest? What keeps us from really having a good night's sleep? I think sleep is a blessing. It's a blessing from God. Sleep is very much a blessing from God. And there's some things in the Bible that I believe that it keeps us from rest. Okay, it keeps us from rest. And I think the first one is emptiness. Emptiness. Emptiness keeps us from sleeping well. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 22 and 23, the Bible says, "For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night." A lack of purpose. A lack of purpose. You know, God has designed us to be industrious. And sometimes when people aren't industrious, when we're not producing something, or we're not feeling like, today was a success, I think sometimes it keeps us up at night. And honestly, that I can say there's been times in my life that has kept me up. Why? Because, and we're going to look at this in just a moment, but the Bible talks about the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And like a lot of people, they just, well, I didn't accomplish anything today. Or it's not just that. It is a feeling of, well, maybe I did accomplish. You know, Solomon talked about, I labored today. It wasn't the fact that I didn't labor. But I think everything that he was laboring for was worthless. It held an emptiness to it that he really couldn't even explain. Could be the things that we do not really bring us lasting satisfaction. Ecclesiastes, flip over to chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Bible says, the sleep, verse number 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Whether he eat little or much, doesn't matter how much he's eaten. But it talks about his sleep. But look at the last part of that verse. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You know, maybe this is one reason I sleep really well. I don't really have anything to worry about. You know, I don't have no, you know, stocks I'm worrying. I don't have nothing. Maybe that's why I sleep really good. I don't know. No, I think it is. I think God has given, I think most of you understand what it is to have peace. There is something to the peace of God that passes all understanding. And but one of the things about it is the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. I'm going to go to another place. I want you to think about that. Don't lose that thought about the abundance of the rich. But it's not about how much you have. Because slothfulness, I wrote that down this, slothfulness is a vicious cycle. Or laziness. Laziness is a vicious cycle. I've seen people that, honestly, I probably get between 6 and 7 hours of sleep a night. And it does really good for me. If I get 8, I feel almost worse than I do if I would have got a lot of or less sleep. 8 or 9, I mean, it just happens. But your sleep, it's amazing because people that sleep all day, or it's like they're never rested. They're never rested. Why? The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. It's good. It feels good. I wonder if Solomon, you know, Solomon had everything he wanted. There's nothing, Solomon said, there's nothing I've withheld from myself. Solomon had everything he wanted. I wonder if because he had everything that he thought he wanted, he really couldn't sleep at night. I don't know that Solomon was a hard worker. God just blessed him with everything. All right? So I think labor is very important. Proverbs chapter 19, this is an interesting verse, and I never really thought about it in this context until I was studying this. Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 15. The Bible says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. You would think the opposite would be true. You would think the opposite would be true. But honestly, and I think you'll agree, there's days, if I go on vacation, I am more tired after vacation than I am if I would just work. Seriously. I go to my in-laws, they're here, and, you know, I don't care. But, not that I don't care that they're here, but I'll go to their house, seriously, and it's like, if I don't have something to do, I'm like, oh, I got to have something to do. I'm exhausted. I can't explain it. I can work all day long, and I sleep, and I feel great. I just do nothing all day, and I'm exhausted. I don't understand it, but it's true. But you know what the Bible says? Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. It's like a vicious cycle. They're lazy, and then it's, I can't get enough sleep. I can't get enough sleep. And then they sleep all day, and I can't get enough sleep. It's a vicious cycle. Emptiness. We're talking about emptiness. Why can't you sleep? Because you're just empty feeling. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse number 12 again, the last part of that verse. I told you to kind of think about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. The abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Go to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Most of you are very familiar with this passage. And I don't think, honestly, I don't think this applies, what I'm talking about right here, as far as the work and everything. It doesn't apply to us. But there is something about emptiness. Because if we live our life for the wrong thing, we'll end up like this rich man here. And we're going to see this. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 16. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Hey, we don't know. He was industrious probably. He had ground. He obviously somebody was laboring to get it to bring forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You would think this guy could rest good at night. Big bank account, perhaps. You know, he's got a lot of stuff saved up for the future. That's what he's talking about. And he's like, soul, and it's like he's trying to convince himself. He's talking to himself. You're fine. You're good. You're okay. But, verse 20, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" This is a picture. This is a perfect picture of what Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes. I mean, this is a story with an application in Ecclesiastes. Verse 21, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Verse 22, "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is this? This is just being able, you know what allows us to sleep at night? It's a fullness that money can't bring. It's a fullness that things can't bring. You know what things bring us is turmoil of mind. Luke, or one of our young men, said the other day, and I was very proud of him for this statement. He said, you know, when, because we talk, they like trucks, and hey, I'm all for that. But they were talking about, you know, when I get a truck, you think that's what I want. That's going to make me happy. And then it's, man, that would look nice with different tires on it. But in order to put bigger tires on it, I got to put a lift kit on it. And then when you put a lift kit on it, you put nice tires and nice rims, and then it doesn't quite look right without this, and it doesn't quite look right without that. And you know what? You think one thing will make you happy, but there's always one more thing. One more thing. And you lay in your bed and you can't sleep because you don't have that next thing that you wanted. But there, you know, there's a contentment when you come that, all right, God, you've given me this. All right, it's not that, you know, Brother Chad, are you saying you don't want, yeah, there's things I would like to have. I got a list. it's not that, but it's the fact of, I don't want to live my life with that is my purpose and my goal is I got to have this. Because this never stops. There's just one more thing, one more expense, and it just never quits. But God gives a fullness. God fills that empty spot in our hearts if we give that to him. But we have to work. We have to work for it. Number two, why can't we sleep at night? Well, I think one reason is emptiness. I think a second reason is a heavy heart. A heavy heart. Go to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And this also kind of goes along with emptiness. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Uh, I think a heavy heart because of perhaps someone that you're burdened about is primarily what I'm talking about here. You know, I don't think we have heavy hearts, and I want you, I hope this makes sense. When my heart's heavy, it's never because of a thing, okay? My heart, my mind can be taxed because of finances and stuff like that, but things that really touch my heart is always because of a person. And if you think about that, I think you'll find that that's true. You know, you can lay in bed at night and you can be awake because of something, some financial problem that you're having, okay? Or something, you know, a business issue or a monetary or a thing issue. But when you lay in bed at night because your heart is heavy, I think many times that's because of a person issue. And if you've had, I think if you probably... if you've had a young person that you've invested in, or if you have a child that's not doing what's right, that can keep you up at night because it affects your heart. And I want to show you some things here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. And we're talking about, right here, we're talking about a father and a child relationships. Go to Psalms chapter number 127. Psalms chapter number 127. If you know about Psalms chapter 127, it's very much a family psalm. It starts out with, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It talks about children are a heritage of the Lord. All right, so we've got several things here, but let's just read verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Go to Psalms chapter number 6. I believe that there's many times parents stay up or are awakened at night because of a heavy heart. And this could not just parents, I believe pastors are, have a heavy heart. Psalm chapter number 6, look at verse number 6. I am weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. And I know it's talking about enemies here, but I believe that there's, you know, things that affect your heart. I believe that. I believe people are the ones that affect your heart. You see and it's not even maybe your child. I mean, and in some ways it is your children. But it's, you know, for me, my children are too young, I guess if that makes sense, to really make a decision to leave the will of God. The will of God for their life is whatever daddy says it is at this point. Does that make sense? But there are young people that I see make those choices to leave. And honestly, before I started working with the teens, I can't remember. I could probably count on one hand the amount of times I was up in the middle of the night, and usually because I was sick. But there's been a lot of times that I'll wake up in the middle of the night. And when I wake up, we'll talk about this in a minute. When I wake up, my first thought is always, God, who do you want me to be thinking about right now? Because if you wake up, sometimes it's, you know, it's like, well, how do I get back to sleep? I mean, I think sometimes I should get back to sleep. I don't want to be, if God wakes me up, and I will show you this, that God wakes people up in the middle of the night for a reason. And I won't talk about that, the very practical reason of that. But it's also, who do you want me to pray for right now? You've all heard the stories about, you know, somebody when he was about to do something wrong, something happened, and he finds out later that somebody at that moment had been woken up in the middle of the night and had been praying for him. But David said here, he's like, my heart is grieved. And you think about, And I know it may not be in the context here, but you think about some of David's children. And I don't know, maybe this, and I couldn't tell you when David wrote this psalm, but he had a child, Absalom, that was out to kill him. You know, maybe this was written then. I don't know. But I think there is something with a parent, and that you wake up in the middle of the night if your child's not doing what's right, and you pray for him, and your heart's heavy. Or a young person that's showing a tendency to go away from God, and your heart is heavy. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. Look at verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. What causes sorrow? You know, there's a lot of things that cause sorrow, but I think something that really affects our heart is when we see people. All right? It's, you know, I don't really sorrow over things. Maybe it's the way God created me. My mind mentally calculates, how do we fix this problem, issue? But your heart is affected by people. A heavy heart. And I'm going to show you this here. So first of all is emptiness. Why can't we sleep is emptiness. Why can't we sleep as a heavy heart? Why can't we sleep is communion with God. Now this, I believe, will go along with a heavy heart. Because you know the best thing that you can do when you have a heavy heart for someone is have that communion with God. You can't fix. This is one of my problems, is so many times I try to fix things with my hands. You can't fix the heart of a young person with your hands. You got to go to the throne of God and pray for them. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Communion with God. Why do we wake up in the middle of the night? Why can't we sleep? We'll take these opportunities to have communion with God. Communion with God. Psalms chapter 1, we're going to look at a lot of references here. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. David had an advantage on us, folks. He didn't have technology. The sad thing is when most of us, when a lot of people wake up, they turn on technology to drown out what's going on here. And you got to be careful about that. Because many times, this is what I believe, and I believe that they've actually proven this, I don't know, for scientifically. You know why you dream at night? You know why most of the time they say, I think, this is what I've heard, is you dream at night? And this makes a lot of sense. If you were here Wednesday night, I need to concentrate my thoughts here so I can present this properly. Your body, God's created us in a triune being. You got your spirit, your soul, and your body. When you're awake, you know who honestly controls a lot of your thought processes is your body. When you're asleep, your body, in a way, shuts down. Okay? Does that make sense? Well, that allows, if your body is not in control, that allows your spirit to then be more in control. You know why I think God spoke to so many people at night? What? Think about this. God spoke to Samuel at night. God spoke to Samuel at night. God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar at night. God spoke to Daniel at night. God spoke to this, I believe, the rich man at night. I think there is something to being asleep and being woken up or thinking these thoughts at night, because I believe that your body, and this is, I really believe this, I believe that your body during the day controls your thought processes. I got to go do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And then at night when your body goes to sleep, it's almost like your body is weakened. And anytime your body is weakened, the spirit has the opportunity to be strengthened. But what we do is, well, we wake up, I'm going to get on my phone, I'm going to listen to the radio, I'm going to watch TV, because I can't sleep. Well, that's the last, honestly, it's kind of the last thing we ought to do. What did David say? I meditate in thy word day and night. Psalm chapter number 17. And I never had really thought about that until I was studying this. Psalms chapter 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. He visited him in the night. Wonder why just in the, why he said in the night. Psalm chapter number 30. Look at verse number 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. You know, you may weep for with a heavy heart at night, but I believe if you have the right attitude, that communion with God, God has a way of working things out that we can't fix with our hands. He can work on a young person's heart that we can't work on. Psalm chapter 42, verse number 8. I love this verse. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm chapter 63. I think David had something here about communing with God in the night. Maybe that's the reason David was a man after God's own heart. You don't hear that about any other person in the Bible except for David. He was a man after God's own heart. Maybe it's because of that communion at night. Psalm chapter 63, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm chapter 77. I think it's good to see all these. Psalm chapter 77. In the day of, verse 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Look at verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Go to 92, chapter 92. Look at verse number 2. Is a good, or verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Look at verse number 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. Why? That I might meditate in thy word. I mentioned Daniel. Several times Daniel, God met with Daniel in the middle of the night. You know, Jesus shows up at night. When was Jesus born? When did Jesus come to this earth? At night. Why couldn't he be born, you know, during the middle of the day? I don't know. But Jesus came at night. You know, when the disciples needed Jesus most, one of the times the disciples needed Jesus most, they were about ready to drown at night. Jesus came walking on the water. He did that at night. Jesus met Nicodemus at night. He met Nicodemus at night. I think there are some special things that God can do in our hearts at night. I'll give you two last things here. I'll just mention them and we'll be done. Why can't we sleep at night? Well, I think one is emptiness, a lack of fulfillment. I think there is a heavy heart. I think there's communion with God. Conviction. God can wake people up at night because of sin. Belshazzar. God met with Belshazzar at night. God convicted him of sin. Nebuchadnezzar, the rich man in Luke 12. Number five, sin. Sin can keep us up at night. There's no reason to be up at night indulging in the things of the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. All right, and just be careful. You know, when God wakes us up in the middle of the night, I think it needs to be a God, why am I awake right now? And I understand, you get older. I mean, you know, got to go to the bathroom more, all that stuff, you know. But at the same time, make this a practice. Every time you wake up, God, why am I awake? Why am I awake? Who do I need to pray for? And I can guarantee you, if you'll be sensitive, God can show you something. And this generation can do some powerful things at night. You don't know. There may be a young person maybe getting ready to make a life-changing decision, and God wakes you up. Oh, I just can't sleep. I'm going to turn on the TV. And the fate of that young person could be determined by what you do at that moment. So be sensitive to that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, thank you for waking me up. Sometimes I don't understand it. Sometimes our flesh is weak the next day. But God, I pray that we would always be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and your leading. I pray we'd have that communion with you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.